Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today, A Place of Hiding, was written by Joseph Mindell.
This is the house, Rabbi Sadia.
Ezra, let us go back. I belong in the city of Sura,
not here in Baghdad. It's too late. You have no choice. I'll knock now. And Rav Sadia, let me do the talking.
What do you want?
We've come a long distance. Will you give us lodging in your house?
The inn is only a little further down the road.
We would like a less public place than the inn.
If you like the comforts of home, you should not travel. Good night.
No, wait. Don't close the door.
Father, you will not deny travelers a night's lodging.
Go back into the house, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca. Simeon, we'll pay you well.
You know my name? Who are you? Where do you come from?
We're from Sura. You were described to us as a good and honest man.
Who described me? No. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. If you want food and a place to sleep, go to the inn.
It's more than food and a place to sleep we seek.
It's very late, Father. In the morning they can go to the inn.
Thank you again, Rebecca, but I will not deceive you. We would like more than a night's lodging. Perhaps some weeks.
Who are you to come with such demands? You're strangers. I owe you nothing.
Father, they want to hide.
I've said nothing of hiding.
You have, Ezra.
Please, Rav Sadia, let me talk.
They have the right to know the truth. Simeon, this is my student, Ezra. And I am Sadia ben Joseph.
The head of the academy at Sura, Your Excellency.
The
I have no idea.
Head of the academy. Simeon, will you let me hide in your house?
This is a story of hiding, composed out of the changeless unquiet of man's life. It happened 1,000 years ago, yet it is not too old for our time and our lives. His name was Sadia ben Joseph Al-Fayoumi. When you say his name, say it in the same breath with Moses Maimonides. He had come out of the region of Fayoum in Egypt into Babylonia, where even 1,000 years ago, the Jewish community was over 1,000 years old and living under the Mohammedan caliphs.
David ben Zakkai, I will appoint you to be exilarch to rule over your people.
I am honored, Your Highness.
I want no difficulties in this matter. Do the leaders of the Jewish community approve?
There will be no difficulty.
One thing more. The title of exilarch is an empty one unless its authority is enforced. Do I make myself clear?
Perfectly, Your Highness.
Good. Then go in peace.
In the year 932, the Jews in exile lived in peace, governed by their own exilarch and taught by the heads of the academies. And in the year 932, Sadia ben Joseph, head
of the Surah Academy was in hiding. I will tell you of the days in hiding, but first you must know how they came about. One day there had come to Sadia the Exilarch himself, David Ben Zakkai.
I hope I find you well, Sadia Ben Joseph.
I am well.
And your family?
My family is well.
The affairs of the Academy run smoothly?
David Ben Zakkai, the scholars are well, wives are well, the children are well.
I'll get to the point. Sergeant Ben Joseph, I rendered a decision in a legal case that came before me. The decision required your signature as ratification. You refused to sign.
I gave your messenger the reason for my reluctance.
I want no explanations. The approval of my decisions by the head of the Academy is a pure formality.
I do not want to quarrel, David Ben Zakkai. I studied the case carefully.
Rab Sadia, you are a scholar. Study the Torah. Leave practical matters to me.
I find no distinction in my conscience between the Torah and practical matters.
I am not concerned with your conscience.
You refuse to hear what I have to say. What do you want of me?
I don't want explanations, I tell you. Will you sign? Yes or no?
No, David Ben Zakkai.
I don't understand you. In the past, you've always supported me.
I'm not against you now.
The Palestinian Academy has tried to impose a new calendar on us here in Babylonia. I have not forgotten how your efforts on my behalf enabled us to win.
Not on your behalf. Could I be silent and let Jews eat leavened bread on the Passover because the academies in Palestine were wrong in computing the calendar?
Nevertheless, you were on my side.
I was on the side of right, then and now.
Sadia Ben Joseph, I was warned against appointing you head of the academy.
Perhaps you should have heeded the warning.
I said you were difficult to get along with.
Still, you appointed me.
Because I wanted a scholar, a pious man and an honest man.
Then which do you now want me to give up? My learning? My piety or my honesty?
Rab Sadia, there need be no quarrel between the Exilarch and the head of the Surah Academy.
That is what I told your father, the Exilarch.
It is in your power to avoid a quarrel. Here's the paper with my father's decision.
Oh, is this why your father sent you?
Sign it and have done.
Watch your tongue, even if you are the son of the Exilarch.
It's all right, Ezra.
No, Rab Sadia, he will address you with respect.
Ezra. How a small thing has grown large. Tell your father again that my signature is not necessary. No one will question the legality of his ruling.
That's not important. It's no longer a question of legality.
Then I don't understand.
You have challenged the authority of the Exilarch.
I see. My son, in matters of law, one must show no respect to a person, no matter how exalted.
Sadia Ben Joseph, don't be a fool. Sign the document.
Get out.
This does not concern you, Ezra.
I warned you. Now get out.
Leave him alone, Ezra.
Take your hands off me.
You didn't have to throw him down the stairs, Ezra.
They will be back, Rab Sadia.
I'm waiting, so that I may talk to David Ben Zakkai.
Rab Sadia, the Exilarch will not come alone.
Perhaps he has calmed down by now and is willing to listen.
You will not be able to reason with his police officers.
You exaggerate, Ezra. The disagreement between the Exilarch and me is a small thing.
The disagreement has been forgotten. He remembers only that you refused to do as he said.
I followed my conscience, as every man must.
Yes. And therefore you must leave Surah.
Ezra, my place is here at the Academy. This is where I belong.
You will not be permitted to remain.
You'll see. I'll talk to the Exilarch.
Oh, Rab Sadia, you're my teacher, but some things I understand better than you.
That is what David Ben Zakkai said.
Hmm?
Leave practical matters to others.
Don't put his words in my mouth.
You said them. Ezra, if I am a scholar, then surely I must remain in the place of learning.
Don't you see? You have no choice. If you remain in Surah, it will not be at the academy, but in prison.
Still, I will remain.
Rab Sadia, if you leave Surah now, there's a chance that you may someday return to the academy. But what do you accomplish by going to prison? Tell me. It's not for yourself. You owe it to us, to your people, to keep yourself safe, Rab Sadia.
All right, Ezra. We will look for a place of hiding.
In the year 932, Sadia Ben Joseph was deposed as head of the Sura Academy. This is history. You may read how it was safer for him to leave Sura, to leave his friends and his students, and how he went to the city of Baghdad. Then the books say no more. But I will tell the story that is not written down, and is nonetheless true, of how Rabsadia lived in the house of Simeon and his daughter, Rebecca.
Welcome to this house.
You're kind, Rebecca. Ezra and I, we are a burden on you and your father.
No, Rabsadia. Your coming here makes our lives more important.
Oh, don't say that, Rebecca.
It's true.
Every life is important for its own sake.
Rebecca, was there something you wanted?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've disturbed your studies, Ezra. I only wanted to say I was going to the market and to ask if there was something you needed.
Ezra, enough of books for today, huh? Let us walk to the market with Rebecca.
What are you saying, Rapsadia?
Why, you've grown so scholarly that you can't leave your books for a little while.
You can't go out of this house, nor can I. We might be recognized.
I see that I must learn how to live in hiding.
Now, let Rebecca go alone. Although I wish Simeon could go to the market instead.
Why should my father go and not I, Ezra?
Because you're a girl, Rebecca.
I'm not a scholar like you, Ezra, and I don't see why I cannot, therefore, go to the market.
You undoubtedly talk to the people you meet, to the tradesmen, and...
I've been doing it all my life. Is there something wrong with talking?
If you talk enough, it will come out that you have a guest in the house, and who he is.
Ezra, I'm not a fool, and it is not for you to tell me what to do, and I will talk as much as I like. I will call you when the evening meal is ready.
Simeon and his daughter are good people, Ezra.
As long as you must hide, I will trust no one.
Ezra, I do not need so much protection. And now we come to the question, why is there evil in the world? Ezra, you're not listening.
I heard what you said.
Then tell me what you think.
Rabsadia, I think that you should plan how to return to Sura as head of the academy.
Later. Now we're discussing the problem of evil.
It is not enough to discuss it. But Rabsadia, you're a teacher. You can teach men how to avoid evil, but not if you're forced to hide.
There will always be teachers. If not I, then another.
Are you satisfied then to remain in this prison?
A prison is only another place to live.
You talk as if you like it.
I have my friends. My books. I even have a student.
Therefore, you will do nothing to get back your rightful place.
There is something you want me to do, Ezra. Shall I say to David Ben-Zakkai, I am ready to approve your decision?
You know that's not what I mean.
Or shall I ingratiate myself with those who have influence at the Caliph's court?
Why not? It can do no harm.
I am a scholar, not a courtier.
Even a scholar must be practical to get what he wants.
Ezra, what do you think I want?
Rabsadia, I'm not sure anymore. I thought you wanted to be head of the academy.
Yes, because at the academy I can live as a scholar and a teacher.
But you will do nothing to hasten your return.
I will not give over my days to currying favor, to intrigue, to the jealousies and fears of a king's court.
Rabsadia, you're afraid to leave a safe hiding place.
Of course I'm afraid. I'm afraid of becoming so practical that I will forget how I want to live.
Rabsadia opened his books and immersed his mind and soul in them. And the house in Baghdad was as the academy at Sura. And in the days of hiding, he wrote works that enlightened his own time and have shined through the centuries in philosophy, law, Bible, grammar, poetry. But for long days, Ezra sat before his open books, his eyes turned to the small window high on the wall, and his spirit was uneasy and restless. And Rebecca saw and understood.
Ezra, I brought you these.
Why do you bring me flowers?
Because I thought you would like them.
Why do you remind me how long it is since I walked outside in the free air?
Ezra, why should you think I want to hurt you?
I'm sorry. Rebecca, tell me where you go when you go outside.
You still don't trust me.
It isn't that. I haven't spoken to another person. I haven't seen the sun and the sky and the green fields. Tell me about them, Rebecca.
There are no green fields between this house and the market where I go.
What is it like, this market?
Like all markets. Crowded, dirty, noisy with talk.
Mm-hmm. What are people talking about?
How should I know? You warned me not to speak to anyone, don't you remember? I shouldn't have said that. It was unkind.
No, I deserved it, Rebecca.
Did you?
Yes.
Then I will tell you what I have heard.
Good.
You'll never believe it, but it's true. A reward has been offered. 100 gold pieces.
What are you talking about?
The Exilarch must want Rob Sadia very badly to offer so much money for him. What's the matter, Ezra? Why do you look at me like that?
Is it so much money, Rebecca?
My father doesn't earn as much in a year. Ezra, I think the Exilarch is squandering his money.
You're wrong, Rebecca. The Exilarch knows what he's doing.
You're over-anxious, Ezra.
It's for your safety that I'm anxious.
I'm safe enough.
The reward, Rob Sadia, don't you understand?
I haven't been out of the house. No one knows where I am.
Two people know.
I've told you before. Simeon and Rebecca are my friends. They're good people.
The Exilarch knows better. Even good people are tempted by money. But his reward will be too late.
What is in your mind, Ezra?
You'll see. Simeon, Rebecca, come in.
You are troubled, Ezra?
Is something wrong?
No, nothing's wrong, Simeon. Here. That's for you.
But I have never asked for money, Ezra.
100 gold coins.
Ezra!
You and Rab Sadia may stay here in my house as long as it's necessary. I want no reward.
But this is more, Simeon. Because when Rab Sadia is again safe in Sura, there will be another 100 coins. You see, it's more than a reward.
More than a... What kind of a man do you think I am?
It's very simple, Father, and not at all personal. You are a man, and therefore moved by money or by threats. You are a human being, and therefore not to be trusted.
I've said it before. As long as Rab Sadia is in danger, I will trust no one.
Will you trust my father if he takes your money?
Rebecca, please. He's afraid for me.
He is not afraid for you, Rab Sadia. He is not even afraid for himself. He is only afraid so that fear and suspicion stand between him and the world. You're an unhappy man, Ezra. I'm sorry for you.
Who are you to be sorry for me? Go back to the market to gossip with a baker.
Stop, Ezra. You've said enough.
What does she know of the world, Rab Sadia, and the evil things that men can do?
Do you know more, Ezra?
Shall I burst with joy because the Exilarch's thirst for authority makes you his enemy? Shall I sing because you've not yet been betrayed?
You do not have to justify yourself.
But I do. Because it is thought strange that I'm not happy to be shut up in this house.
How you live is more important than where. You choose your own life for yourself.
The world does not permit us to choose. You're not in your study at the academy. Have you forgotten?
I have not forgotten, Ezra. Nevertheless, I have chosen. I will not fill my life with hate and anger.
What can my life be, or anyone's life, when men are filled with anger and discord?
You are blind if you see only these.
Good. You have eyes, Rab Sadia. Look from your hiding place and tell me what you see.
I see also thoughts of peace and truth and charity in men's hearts.
Even in the Exilarchs? In David Ben Zakkai's?
Even in David Ben Zakkai's.
You place more faith than I in the man.
No, Ezra. And the good friend.
The world has many faces. And it may be that a man looks from his place of hiding through a high window and a closed door and sees his own reflection. On a day that followed long days behind the closed door of Simeon's house, Simeon went out and returned.
Rab Sadia, I have just come from the marketplace.
Good, Simeon, good.
There is a man in Baghdad, Joshua ben Aaron. who has a dispute with another.
I'm sure the court will settle their dispute.
But they have not gone to court.
Simeon, my mind is not free. I'm writing. Perhaps later.
You must listen now, Rabsadya.
Oh, then I will listen. You say they have not gone to court?
No, they decided to have the dispute settled by two judges, one chosen by each. Joshua's opponent chose the exilarch.
And Joshua? And Joshua? And Joshua? Whom did he choose?
They were talking. He chose you, Rabsadya.
Does he know where to find me, Simeon?
I told them nothing.
He didn't have to choose me. There are others.
I thought you'd want to know. I'll go now.
It's out of the question, isn't it? Well, isn't it?
He will find another judge.
But why me? What does he want of me?
Rabsadya, maybe he wants more than justice. Maybe he also wants peace.
Rabsadya, there is no use hiding here any longer.
You are right, Ezra.
No, I was wrong. If you stay here, you'll soon be found out. You must leave Baghdad. You must leave Babylonia.
You are still being practical, aren't you?
Rabsadya, maybe my eyes are not like yours. Maybe they must be taught to see the good. Good, you will teach me. Later, when you're safe.
You said there's no use in hiding.
I see the world as it is. You cannot hide from your enemy, therefore you must go beyond his reach.
Ezra, a man has asked for justice.
You don't even know Joshua Ben Aaron.
I've learned much from my teachers, Ezra, and more from my students. But most, I think, from a man I know only by name. Ezra, will you come with me?
David Ben Zakkai will be glad to see you.
Maybe if I had made a greater effort to talk with him, I could have persuaded him even then. But I will try now.
Rabsadya, this once, listen to me. Leave Baghdad. Go to a distant country. Go to Egypt.
Egypt is a strange choice for a place of hiding, Ezra.
Why? You have friends there.
No man should willingly return to bondage in Egypt.
This is no time for parables.
It's not a parable. I am Sadia ben Joseph. Sadia, the descendant of that Joseph who was sold into slavery in Egypt. Ezra, in my youth, I came up out of Egypt, as our people came up into freedom. Shall I now, of my own will, return?
You will be safe and free.
Whoever must live in hiding is not free. To hide is to leave life. There is no place to hide, except in the grave. Ezra, perhaps I should not ask you to come with me.
You don't have to ask, Rabsadya. I will go with you to meet David Ben Zakkai's soldiers.
How do you know there will be soldiers?
I know David Ben Zakkai.
Well, maybe you're right. But it doesn't matter. A man has asked for justice. And he has reminded me of that which I should not have forgotten. Whatever may happen, the time of hiding is over. I will return to life.
No man is permitted to know the direction in which his choice leads him. You may read how Rabsadya met David Ben Zakkai and how they sat together to render justice. But that is not the meaning of the story. For 1,000 years ago, Sadia Ben Joseph knew only the beginning and not the end. Nevertheless, he opened the door of Simeon's house and went out of the place of hiding.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Joseph Wohl, distinguished lawyer and member of the National Planning Committee of the Jewish Theological Seminary. Mr. Wohl.
The writings of the philosopher Sajja Gaon have had a great influence on the development of Western thought. Today's program demonstrates that the events of his life, as well as the fruits of his mind, can teach a lesson to mankind. The important thing is not whether he did finally convince the Exilarch, nor even whether he was imprisoned. The important thing is that he decided to come out of hiding. Voluntarily, he risked his own safety based on the realization that even a self-sufficient scholar must be part of the stream of life. Sajja Gaon realized what all people today, what you and I must understand. The world is a totality from which there is no escape. The evil in the world cannot be ignored by the good man, nor sadness by the happy man. We all live in a framework which is the total world, and no man can be happy by escaping into a corner and closing his eyes in order to avoid the realities and challenges of everyday life. This realization of the organic relationship of any small part of the world to its totality is the basic philosophy behind the United Nations, the ideal of one world, and the concept of world brotherhood. Recognition of the close relationship of all parts of the world and all human beings, regardless of race and religious conviction, is not only a lofty ideal, but it makes practical good sense for the survival of our civilization. By facing the realities of the differences which exist between people and the motivations which guide human action, all people can learn to understand one another better and create a mood of fellowship and goodwill amongst all people.
Thank you, Mr. Wall. Our Eternal Light drama today, A Place of Hiding, was written by Joseph Mendel. Peter Capel was featured as Sajja Ben-Joseph and Alexander Scorby as Ezra. Jane Webb was heard as Rebecca, John McGovern as Simeon, Kermit Murdoch as the Exilarch, Bill Lipton as his son, and Roger DeCoven as the narrator. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Momorsky. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.